Blog Talk Radio.
Kosha, why we can't go outside and play today?
Baby, because there's too much happening out there. We got misguided people in this world who turn to violence and use guns, and sometimes innocent people like you and me get caught in the middle of it.
Well, what's wrong with them?
Baby, I don't know. They need changing a lot.
Cause the block filled with gunfire. Ain't no name on them bullets when they take flight. And so we're praying that God for a safe night. Right? People getting rough wild out here. Should no parent ever have to lose their child out here? So how we gon' gain peace of mind out here when the message unheard though it's loud and so clear? It make me wanna fly way high way, but I gotta stay with a reach on these streets trying to show a better way.
Still, it affects you. Violence ain't racist. Death committed faces complacent. Till it hits home, that's when you taste it. And all of these murders and numbers unheard of. For reasons unheard of. Account for a third of crimes just committed. You hear, but do you feel it now? Me and my peace gon' stand stronger till they get it. Tell the streets to put the thumpers down. Let's build a foundation here on common ground. And know that we won't stop until that peace is found. Silent cries through the night, can you hear that sound? Play this, it ain't part of the problem. It takes people in all positions to get together and solve it. One city, one state, one nation, one voice. And the victory is ours if you can make one choice.
Oh, why can't we live here in peace? That peace is what we need. Why don't we?
Welcome to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks for Thursday, January 7th, 2010, with your host, Mr. Ron Carter, Chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago. This is Sonia Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network.com, and I will be Mr. Carter's co-host for this show. We want to thank each of you for joining us this evening. You may have heard a little interference that was coming in from Blog Talk Radio. We do apologize for that. They're playing commercials over my music. But, you know, we as a people can come through any obstacles. We're going to go right forth. Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks is on the air every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. And we want you to share in this opportunity to serve the African-American businesses of the past, present, and future by calling in and being a part of the solution. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. Leave your company information and website links in the chat room. Press the number 1 if you would like to speak to our host or guest, or if you have a question. You may also listen to us live on blogtalkradio.com. Ron?
You're here. How are
Ron,
you?
Ron, are you there?
Can
I'm you hear that interference coming through?
No, I'm hearing you nice and clear.
You hear me nice and clear?
I hear you nice and clear, no
through.
Interference whatsoever.
That's beautiful. I'll just listen to it then. Ron, tell us what's on the agenda for today?
Well, we again want to welcome all the listeners here to the Chicago Black Business Network Blog Talk and having Black Wall Street Speaks to be on the air over the Internet. And in doing so, we want to continue with moving into our third program on the Chicago Black Business Network. And in doing so, again, we want to welcome the listeners. And with Black Wall Street, our agenda is to sustain and increase black businesses. And we're doing that from a wide range of activities, approximately about 14 agenda items that Black Wall Street is working on. One of them we have focused on was the 75th Street Black Wall Street District, which we have had legislation passed in the Illinois State House, Illinois State Senate, in passing the Black Wall Street 75th Street District, in which that was a momentum event that the Senate has voted on and passed, which it gave a lot of inspiration for other cities that's part of the Black Wall Street organization. With that in mind, there's a couple of things that happened today at Black Wall Street board meeting and at its committee meeting, along with some activities that we've been having over the past month. And that's related to Madison Avenue in Chicago, which Madison Avenue is part of the Great West Side of Chicago. And upon meeting with a representative from that part of the city, there is initiative to do the same thing we did on 75th Street, to have Madison Avenue as a Black Wall Street district. With that in mind, one of the representatives that has officially became a board member of Black Wall Street. With that in mind, I'd like to welcome Mr. Prentice Allison. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good, Ron. I'm glad to be a part of the show.
Right. Well, we welcome you. So we have moved forward in Madison Avenue being a Black Wall Street district. Before we get into that, I would like to the listeners to find out who you are and your line of business and your activities, and then we can move on to the project of Madison Avenue as a Black Wall Street district. Can you tell us a little background of who you are and your business?
Yes. Well, again, my name is Prentice Allison. I am the president of my company, Service Perfect Solutions, Retirement Planning and Financial Strategies. And I've been in the financial industry now for almost 30 years, about 29 plus years, 29 years and some months. And my goal, my mission is to help our people see, not to be afraid of the financial industry. It's great, everybody's using it, and we seem to be a little bit slow in catching up.
Why do you say the use the term afraid of the financial industry? What led you to use that term?
Well,
why did you say that?
When I say afraid, the market, the stock market. Now, I'm not big on stocks, but that's all a part of the financial industry. There are so many avenues to help us live a better life than we're doing right now, looking toward the future, because the future is coming. Whether we're here to shake its hand or not, the future is coming. We have kids, grandkids, we have nieces, nephews, we have community.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got to do better with preparing for the future. And
so who are some of your clients? Who are the people that would actually want to use your service? And
well,
who generally are your clients?
That's an interesting question. I'm glad you asked that. I started some 29 years ago in the life insurance industry, and I still do life insurance. I do a lot of it. There are so many different facets of life insurance. It's incredible. When I started, I was taught a certain way, and I believe I was taught a certain way because the people who taught me was taught a certain way.
Yeah, okay.
And that was to sell life insurance to my people and sell small amounts. Well,
mm-hmm.
I did that for about 3 or 4 years, and I started to look at this thing from a bigger picture. I got married, and some children came along, and I started to think about how much my family would be in trouble if I was to go on to heaven tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what started me to think about this thing on a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quickie on what you could do with life insurance itself. Life insurance today, I could stand toe-to-toe with a life insurance policy and a stockbroker and basically give them the same thing. The difference is the stockbroker cannot use the word guarantee. I can. I can use a form of a life insurance contract, an investment-grade form of a life insurance contract, and help a person get 7 to 8% interest on their money.
Mm-hmm.
Is that incredible or what?
Okay. Well, let me ask you this here. The term Black Wall Street, there's many different perspectives of what that can mean or what that is all about. There has been the notion from many people that when they hear the term or the name Black Wall Street, they associate that with Wall Street of New York, the financial district. How much of that do you believe need to be part of the economics, even though I think you're using that as an individual initiative or benefit, but how much does that play with the term Black Wall Street or what the Black Wall Street should be about when it comes to finance? So, and as you stated earlier, there is people are afraid of the financial market. How does that come together?
For me, not just for me, but in this country, it is all about economics. It's all about economics. The haves and the have-nots. Now, let's use this for example. Thinking of Black Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
we're looking at businesses in particular. We're excited that we got black businesses in the district. We got people in the community doing business with the black businesses and excited to do business with the black businesses.
Okay.
Well, where I come in play is there are many different facets of it, but here's one in particular. I'm just going to throw this one out there. A man has started a business, has worked that business 20 years. The business is thriving.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he have a heart attack. He falls dead. the business is pretty much gone out the door because, first of all, he didn't have a plan to make sure his business continue on without him.
Mm-hmm.
With him having a heart attack, the income has stopped dead in his tracks because he didn't have a plan to make sure the income, his income, continues on down the road, even though he's not working the business himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's just two things. Another one, we see people that work businesses for 30 years, their own business, and yet when it comes time to retire, they really can't retire.
So I'm still somewhat kind of stuck on your term, afraid of financing. Does that relate to this case of you speaking of this particular business? Is it something that this business person missed out on of being educated, or is that still an example of someone being scared of planning for the future?
It is education. It is education. And there's in today's world, there's information all over the place. Now, it almost needs somebody to decipher the information because there's so much out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask, what is the difference between what you're providing? You did indicate the difference between life insurance and the stock market, where you can give a guarantee with life opposed to the stock market. With your particular service, what do you bring that's different, even if I can use as far as from your competitors?
Let's look at it this way. My competitor says, invest some money with us, and you will average, let's say over a 10-year period, you would average about 8% interest on your money compounded over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Even in this economy, that's pretty good. I say to him, invest some money with me, and we will guarantee you 8% on your money over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what makes me unique is they can say we project about 8%. We say we will guarantee 8%. Now, mm-hmm. where does the fear come in? The fear come in from our people, from my experience, is we've never really gone into the stock market because we haven't had much and we was afraid of losing that little we had. So we never really wanted to take risk.
How much of a percentage of the population or the black community that can you foresee needs to be tapped within to bring it in parity with the rest of the population, or do you think that you can address that?
I can address that. Let's not look at the whole population. Let's do a geographic area.
Okay.
Let's use one side of Chicago. Let's say the South Side.
All right.
And I work all of Chicago. I work all of Illinois. But let's use the South Side. The South Side of Chicago got a nice mixture in certain clusters of the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
But percentage-wise, I'd say probably about 10% is putting some money into the stock market. The other 90% is not doing anything. They're going to the bank.
Wow, well, we definitely got to do some, we're going to have to do some work about that. And matter of fact, what I'd like to do, we're going to take a break now, and we're going to come on the other side of the break to talk about exactly how we're going to engage in that other 90% on an overall economic agenda. So hold tight, and we'll be right back. Sonia?
Thank you, Ron. You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with your host, Mr. Ron Carter, Chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago, and I'm Sonia Perdue. Our guest this evening is Mr. Allison, who is also the president of Service Perfect Solutions, Incorporated. He is a specialist in retirement and insurance planning, and he has been a part of the financial industry for more than 29 years. Mr. Allison holds multiple certifications in the industry and has assisted thousands of Americans in planning a financially rewarding and stable future for themselves and their families. We certainly want to tap into his knowledge this evening. Also, this is our first show for Black Wall Street Chicago 2010. We hope that each of you have made big plans and have some solid goals for this year. We also hope that you will set aside some time every Thursday here on Blog Talk Radio to listen to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks. We send out our thanks to all our guests of 29. Our last guest for our December 17th show was Illinois State Senator Donnie Trotter, who so graciously took time out of his busy schedule to join us. If you missed our interview with Senator Trotter, you can listen to that show in our archives right here on our website. We look forward to having Senator Trotter on an upcoming show, hopefully with time permitting for questions and feedback. That would be a great show. And also, we want you to know that we have a show coming up on CBBN on Blog Talk Radio, and that's next Tuesday at 7 p.m. CEO of Emblazon Entertainment, Hakima Muhammad, will be joining us on CBBN on Blog Talk Radio next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for our show entitled Intergenerational Music for the World, hosted by composer-pianist Mr. Boise Queen, who is a member of Chicago's BlackBusinessNetwork.com. We're going to have musical artists from different generations discussing the state of the music industry today. So come back next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for that show. You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago with your host, Mr. Ron Carter, and our guest, Mr. Prentice Allison. We'll be right back. We're back, and you're tuned into Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with Mr. Ron Carter and Chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago. I'm Sonia Perdue. Our caller number is 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. Press the number 1 if you would like for us to bring you on the air. We will say the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and you will know that your mic is live from that point. Our guest this evening is Mr. Prentice Allison, Chairman of Black Wall Street, the Madison Division, and President of Service Perfect Solutions, Inc. Ron, back to you.
Thank you, Sonia, and welcome back to Black Wall Street Speak. Mr. Allison, you indicated that there is a 90% untapped market for financial services on the South Side?
Yes, South Side, and about the same on the West Side. I'd say about the same in Chicago, period.
That means that you should be getting pretty rich. Isn't that the case, or what? What we're missing here, if there's that big of a market? What's missing?
It is that big of a market, but the thing is, remember now, we're looking at 400 years of being used and misused and miseducated, and I love that word, miseducation of the Negro.
Well, let me get a clarification here again now. You're indicating that on the South Side, geographically in Chicago, on the South Side of Chicago and the West Side of Chicago, there is a 90% market to capture for engaging those particular black communities in some form of a financial planning service.
Yes, yes.
Well, then I would tend to say, based on my earlier question to you, is that the notion of what Black Wall Street can mean to some people, even as it relates to financial planning and financial investments, this may need to be an initiative for Black Wall Street Chicago. Or is that practical? Is that something
that
we're missing as an organization, that we need to engage in that form of an initiative?
I would say yes. I would say yes. Let me throw something else at you here in that same arena. It goes right back to education. Our people have been taught, the little you have, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Take no risk with it. Well, if you take no risk, there is no gain. And the reason I keep harping on education is, Ron, let me say this. I have quite a few clients, little clients. My biggest income comes not from my community, but from the other community.
Well, you know, what we're going to do here, again, Chicago Black Business Network, it's not just information and education, it's some implementation that comes along with it. I want to invite you, Mr. Allison, to write a column in South Street Journal on the education of financial planning and investments. And matter of fact, I know that we just recently, how did you say it at the meeting today? We did something to you.
You got me remotivated, extra motivated.
Right, but you said we did something to you, drafted you or pinned you or something to that nature to take on the role as the chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago District. See, I mean, some of Black Wall Street, Chicago, Madison District.
Madison Street District.
Right.
I had no, I tell you, Ron, I had no intentions of doing this. I've always been excited about the fight for the struggle, you know, the
okay.
Ball.
Mm-hmm.
I've been that way since I've been a little boy. Before I could vote, I was out campaigning for people who looked like me that, from my young perspective, I thought would have me and my people's interests at heart more than another group.
Okay.
That's, That's just common sense, right?
All right.
Well, I've been fighting that fight for many years now, and I'm still in that same fight.
Well, we're going to, when you're identified as someone that's a fighter, that's, guess how you became the chairman of the Black Wall Street Chicago Madison District. And we welcome you in taking on that role. And now we're, myself, as publisher and editor of South Street Journal, want to recruit you again to have a column that will address the financial education and the marketing of financial investments, which, as you state, there is a 90% untapped market that maybe, I don't know if you can be able to capture all that market by yourself, or you're going to need to recruit and to hire some people to help you to do that. So what's the realities here?
I would love that. See if this makes sense to you. Just a little tidbit here. Let's say you've worked at AT&T for 35 years.
Okay.
AT&T says to you, okay, it's time for you to retire. Here's a term, rollover. We've all heard that term, rollover.
Yeah, okay.
But AT&T says to you, you're ready to retire now. You got to do something with this $280,000. What do you want to do with it? Most people say to AT&T, I don't know. What do you suggest I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a simple thing that most people should do. Say to AT&T, give me my $80,000. Let me roll it over into my own plan, and I will direct them how to manage my money.
Right.
But most people say, Mr. AT&T, I don't know. You tell me what to do.
Well, I would look at what we need to do is to, and I know that we're all stretched with projects that we're working on, you being the businessman that you are, your activities on the west side of Chicago, and taking on a role as chairman of the Black Wall Street Madison Street Initiative. We definitely would like to find a way that we can engage Black Wall Street Chicago in financial markets and taking on that role as well. So we're going to move on that, and with your leadership, again, that we are definitely pulling is to help us get through that process as well.
While I'm thinking about it, may I just put my phone number out there?
Sure.
It is 773-353-4295. That's 773-353-4295. And I might not be able to answer the call right away, but I guarantee you I'll get right back to you as soon as I can.
Okay. Well, let me look at this initiative where we are with the Black Wall Street Madison, Black Wall Street Madison Street. There's an obvious notion, perhaps, but there's a plenty of zealous entrepreneurships that have came from the West Side. And historically, we know what happened during the 60 riots. But as we look at Chicago, did the West Side lose their way, especially when Chicago seems to be full of possibilities, as the vision of the Chicago Loop has developed in the last 10 years, and how even the near West Side and the near South Side of Chicago has developed. Is there, in comparison to the South Side of Chicago and the West Side of Chicago, there seems to be a gap of entrepreneurship balance. And my understanding, historically, when blacks came from the South, they migrated first on the west side of Chicago. What is this gap of business and entrepreneurship? And then if you can, look at that as it relates to Madison Avenue based on the makeup of businesses there. Well, I put too many questions out there in one.
You've got a lot of them out there.
Okay.
Let me start with the migration. From my understanding and little research, there was a big cluster that headed to the south side. The west side was basically a Jewish community. Now, I believe when the fires hit the west side, Roosevelt Road over in that area during the movement back in the 60s, I believe from that point there were some strategies going on right then and there to let the west side kind of die off. And believe me, the people who come up with these strategies, who do these strategies, they're very patient. They're looking down the road, not necessarily for themselves, but for their families, generations to come behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was a strategic move to let...
Why would you say that that's a strategic move? Then I guess when you say strategic move, the base of the strategic move can only be from city planners. Is that accurate to say
say
that
amen.
This?
Say amen, somebody.
Well, okay, amen.
Okay, I believe it happened just that way. Let's look at where the West Side sits. And again, we don't want to really separate the South Side from the West Side, but strategically, the West Side is in such a location. Everything, it's the center, it's sort of the hub of Chicago. You sit between two airports. You sit right between four major highways.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Tri-State on the west. You got the Dan Ryan on the east. 55 Stevenson on the south. On the north end, you got the Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely
a transportation hub, even taking into consideration the Chicago metropolitan area planning. That's planning for the year 2020 and the year 2040. Transportation is the main focus of their planning. And I have to just put a note in what you're stating, that the 2040 plan of Chicago metropolitan area, they do have some demographics of what corridors they're going to develop for the year 2040. And as we looked at those maps, there was no corridor plan for Madison Avenue from California to Austin. With that in mind, is I guess we're going back to what you said strategically planned, because those plans are actually in motion as we speak. So knowing that, how do you propose or that the West Side community be able to engage in plans that actually have already been set? And I don't know, I want to say if stone or not, but how can the West Side community be able to catch up in what has already been laid out?
I take my hat off to you and this Black Wall Street movement that has started. That's one way right there to get, because just the name itself, Black Wall Street, is a very powerful name
mm-hmm.
going all the way back to Oakland and coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I take my hat off to you and your crew with that, and that's going to be a start right there. Just the few people I've mentioned this to over the last 30 days is excited because of the name and what it originally meant, and they and I believe it can mean that again.
Right. Well, I have to admit the meetings that I have attended regarding the Madison Avenue being a Black Wall Street district, there was a lot more tentative excitement from the body that attend those meetings more than it has been on the south side of 75th Street. So do you believe that is there going to be a real concern in convincing the residents of what can happen, or can it be a tough sell based on the frustrations that the community have witnessed with the lack of an adequate, say, city planners presenting it to the residents? Is it a hard sell or an easy sell based on the historical frustrations?
No, it's not going to be an easy sell. It's not going to be an easy sell. It will be a hard sell because of what we, our people, have seen for so long. But
mm-hmm.
this I do know, because of my background of sales and marketing, once the people see and understand it in a simple way of what this is for them, and I'll say for us, we want to own something. We want to say that's ours, and I'm a part of helping that thing move forward. That's why the Million Man March was so successful in numbers. Now I don't know if it was successful after that, but in the numbers of getting the people there, that's why it was so successful, because our people have been waiting for a long time.
So you feel as though that there needs to be a spirit of encouragement as we address economic and business development?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's got to be done and said with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm,
okay.
And is very catchy.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, how many businesses are there, I'm sorry, not businesses, but business organizations that can you give a snapshot view that may exist on the west side of Chicago?
I would say, well, I know of at least 300 that.
Excuse me. I said business organizations.
Oh, I'm sorry, business organizations. Okay, business organizations. On the west side, now that's a very interesting question.
Okay. Well, the 300 that you mentioned, are you saying that that's about 300 black businesses?
Or
what was that 300 related to?
300 black businesses.
On the west side of Chicago.
On the west side of Chicago.
What would you say is that percentage of the total, or do you have an idea?
I'm sorry, ask that question again.
What percentage would you say of that is the total businesses on the west side?
Okay. I think that's probably maybe one-third.
One third. Do you think that that's a good representation?
That's a hard question there. That's a hard question. And the reason I say that's a hard question is because I haven't done real research on that. This is just over the last 30 days of talking to people and just a couple of organizations. And when I say a couple, I'm only talking two. That say they have that many in their database today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then what I'm hearing you saying is that the West Side will have to come up towards some type of emerging cultural of business spirit to make this happen due to the frustrations, and it may be not an easy sale, but may be a tough sale. Is that accurate to
those of us who are in sales? We're not afraid of a tough sale at all. As a matter of fact,
okay.
We welcome a tough sale, because a tough sale is profitable and rewarding.
Right. Well, let's go. I want to go a little bit more on this Madison Avenue Black Wall Street district. We want to do that on the other side of this break. I'll hold on, and we will see you after this break.
Thank you, Ron. You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with your host, Mr. Ron Carter, Chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago. Mr. Prentice Allison, President of Service Perfect Solutions, Inc., is his guest this evening. Mr. Allison, why don't you give our listeners your telephone number, your location again?
Yes, my phone number is 773-353-4295. My location is 1 Westbrook Corporate Center in Westchester, Illinois. I also do business in northern Indiana. I have an office there. Also an office on West Diversity in Cicero. So because I'm not in the office, I'm out in the field quite a bit all over Illinois. The best way is to call me and set an appointment. Don't just drop in on me. Please don't do that.
Okay.
we know that can't be done. You sound like you've got a full plate there. And then Mr. Carter stood over there and gave you another job, didn't you? He gave
it
you
sure
two today.
Did.
Didn't
Same
Mr.
on
Allen?
Me.
Shame on you.
But you know, Mr. Allison, I haven't been working. I've been working with Black Wall Street Chicago since about October. They asked me to come over and assist them with initiating a web presence. And I tell you, I appreciate Mr. Carter. His job is gigantic. It
oh,
is
really?
Gigantic. But
gosh.
I think he's the man. I think he's the man for it.
All right.
We want to see that he goes forth with this agenda. This is a huge agenda. And one thing I want to say to Mr. Allen, as I was listening to you, you told Mr. Carter that the figure was like 95% for Chicago's African Americans who were not invested in the financial market. And I couldn't wrap my head around that number. That's a huge number, 95%. It's almost unbelievable to think that. But as I listened to you talk more, I started grasping what you were talking about and the possibility of that. Mm-hmm. And then when Mr. Carter said that possibly a financial branch of Black Wall Street Chicago should be put in place, I couldn't be more agreeable with that. Let me ask you, Mr. Allison, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your certification so they'll know you a little bit better?
Okay. Well, I'm a certified estate planner, and as I say this, may I just say a little bit about what that really is. Some simple things when it comes to estate planning. Most people don't know that if you own a home. No, let me go to the thing that everybody's got that's working, the 401k. Most people don't know that. If you don't have that thing set up right, your 401k, you got your income coming, you started at age 65, well, at age 67, you went on to heaven. Where's the rest of that money going?
Yeah, where is it going?
If you don't have that thing set up right, well, if you have a spouse, yeah, it'll go on to your spouse. Your spouse can go. But if you do not have a spouse, that money goes back to the plan managers.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Here's
it's
another
incredible.
Crazy thing. Another thing I do is life insurance planning. Life insurance planning. Most people don't know that Walt Disney, this guy used his life insurance to get the Disney empire started. After filing bankruptcy three or four times. So some simple things that we've been taught that we've been mistaught is get enough life insurance to make sure you got a decent burial. Well, it's way past time for us to look beyond that and do like others do. You got to get enough life insurance to perpetuate your kids, your grandkids, and you got to teach them the same thing. When I leave my three sons, of course, everything it goes to the wife if I leave, and there would be plenty going to her if I leave first. But we've already taught the three sons that you got to do the same thing that we're doing. Once you get a job, you get out of school, you get a job, you got to get at least $1 million to start to make sure your family have money on down the road. So simple things like that, we just haven't been taught.
We're going to definitely have you have a column in South Street Journal. That's for sure. That is another assignment for you for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have another question for you, Mr. Allison, in regards to two things, actually. In regards to retirement, the 401K, which you just mentioned. The 401K, many, many people have been devastated by the loss of their 401Ks.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened twice. It happened when the dot-com fell, when the
right.
market pretty much crushed in. And however you refer to this now as a recession or a depression, it has happened again. Now, how they did it twice, I don't know. But they were hedging against the stock market. And my question to you, now we have people 55, almost 60, almost time for them to retire, with no money, no pension funds.
Mm-hmm.
What are these people to do? Or is there anything for them to do
well,
at that age and at this time?
First thing you'll do is pray, of course. But it is almost nothing that – well, I won't never say it's nothing to be done. Whenever a situation like this happens, there are people that's capitalizing on it, capitalizing big time on it.
Absolutely.
Right now, the real estate market, this is the best time in the world to get real estate is right now. Now, the reason I can talk about this is I just last week, I went and looked at a building on the west side, 10-unit building, two storefronts. The bank said they want $389,000 for it. I'm going to make a bank an offer of something ridiculous. Like $150,000. Either they can say yes or they can say no, and they can keep it on their books. Banks are not in the real estate business. That bank needs to get rid of that real estate. Okay? That building. Now, when I offer them that, they can say yes or no to it. If they say yes to the $150,000, here's where strategies come in place. The city of Chicago has a real estate grant program for $150,000. Once they say, I'm just going to assume they're going to say yes to that building for $150,000, I'll sign the contract. That means it's technically my building because the contract is signed. Now I'll go to the city of Chicago on this grant program they got for $150,000, up to $150,000 to rehab that building. That's my plan, to get the building free. Why? Because the bank can't leave that sitting on their book. Chicago got this grant money that they got to get rid of in order to get more money from the federal government to give away. So it's little things like that that Service Perfect Solutions help people do. Did I answer the question, or did I kind of go around the world there?
No, you answered it. I'm all ears. I'm listening to taking in everything you say. Grant program, City of Chicago. I have to get that information out to Chicago's Black Business Network. And that's what this is about, Mr. Carter, Mr. Allison. It's about getting the information out.
That's
when,
right.
When Mr. Carter says that he needs you to write an article for his newspaper, I look at what's going on with our people. We're still at grassroots. Not everyone. I don't speak in absolutes. But when you were talking about that 95% of us not being investors, I was thinking, and when you were talking about it's all about a plan, I was thinking about the number of people who are now having their Social Security checks go into the currency exchanges. That's
mm-hmm.
all by plan. So therefore, now once again, even at that age, they are removed from financial institutions where they talk about money in a different way and where they're going to a currency exchange where they're actually there to serve them and with no benefit back to them. So we're still at really a lot of grassroots areas that need to be covered. And I don't know. My background is in real estate. I was a real estate broker in the 90s, and I did loans in the new millennium up until 2007, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
it blew all up. But
mm-hmm.
And hopefully this year I'm going to go back and do it again. It's coming back around. But these are all viable things that we need to touch on, and we have to start at the beginning, almost
hey,
because
Sonia,
of the devastation. Mm-hmm.
Let me share this with you, Sonia. 5 years ago, let me talk about my I got a couple of Jewish clients in Skokie. This one client, 5 years ago, I said to him, You got real estate. You got a house. Well, he's not in Skokie. He's right on the Skokie line up north there on Ashland, right at the Skokie line, at the line there of Evanston. His property 5 years ago was valued, a single-family house, at about $480,000. I said to him, if I was you, now, I've done it myself, but if I was you, I wouldn't use my house to house money. I'd use my house to house my family. I would pull most of my equity out and put it in a guaranteed safe plan that is safe and I can get to it whenever I want to. And he says to me, but I'd have to start paying a bigger note. Well, that note you're paying is 100% tax deductible, right? You're in real estate. That mortgage
yes,
is 100% tax deductible.
The interest on the mortgage, yes, it is.
Right, right. So he followed my advice. He pulled out about $350,000 and, of course, put it with me because I told him how to do it. And he's loving me now because his money is gaining interest, compound interest. He's only getting about 5 to 6%, but his money is available to him whenever he needs it, and he's not crying that his house have lost value because he took all of his cash out of his house and let his
Absolutely.
house his family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How's
you know,
that
Mr. Allison? Yes, that's a smart move. That was a smart move. You know what, Mr. Allison? I did loan after loan after loan after loan for people, my people, because
mm-hmm.
that's who I service, my
right.
people. I worked for about 3 or 4 banks. They took money out of their houses. Do you know what they did with it?
Uh-huh. Tell me.
Trucks, cars, furniture, vacation furs. They did not invest that money.
That's
they
what
did
I
not invest that money.
Do.
And right now, to this day, they have no value in their house and no money. And I hear people call
uh-huh.
me, but when they stop calling me now, there's no reason to call me. But when it first bust, when the bubble first bust,
mm-hmm.
they will just ring it, calling me, calling me, calling me, calling
mm-hmm.
me. There is nothing that you can do. Because you should have
mm-hmm.
did what I told you in the first place. And there's and now we're starting over. We had a foothold in equity. We had a foothold with the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It was growing. It was growing. We had equity, and they were refinancing. They was just getting 10, 20, 30, 40, 80, all kinds
uh-huh.
of money.
And
we had a foothold.
Vacation.
We was getting ready to make another step, Mr. Ellison. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
And now
oh,
they
yeah.
can make no step. We could do a whole series, Ms. Allison. You know we can. But this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to a break. Rob just took a turn to show over to me. We're gonna go.
Oh,
to
I'm getting my piece of it. I can't wait to get them started in South Street Journal.
Ah, okay. You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with Mr. Ron Carter and Mr. Prentice Ellis, and we're gonna come right back. Call in with your questions.
A successful special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size your special event may be.
Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. At Andy Clyde's, world-class service for our clients is standard. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hair stylists, and makeup artists, favors, daily plans for guests, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations.
Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. We are not locked in by guidelines passed down by corporate. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as dream weavers because we listen to what you want and get it done.
Our specialties are the vacation packages. Visit our website at www.andyclydes.net to see examples of what sets our services above others.
And remember, at Andy Clyde's, we are your
dream.
You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with the host, Mr. Ron Carter, and his guest, Mr. Prentice Allison. Ron, let's go to the telephone line. We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
caller 9, area code 980. You're on the line. Tell us your name and give us your question or comment for our guest.
Good evening. This is Thomas McCall from Charlotte, North Carolina. How's everyone doing?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. I saw the name of your show, and me and another colleague of mine, we actually have a show with a similar name.
which name?
Ujamaa Black Wall Street.
Oh, we're gonna have to hook up. We're gonna have to collaborate.
Yeah, definitely, because as a brother, he's in Virginia. He does, and she's an insurance broker. I work for Bank of America and mortgages, and basically we were going to get together and start teaching people about, well, so far we had some practice shows teaching people about credit, about, you know, basic bank finance, where to go to get credit, where, you know, how to get with credit unions, how not to get exploited by finance companies also. Start teaching people about the basics of investing. We're going to have like different hosts teaching people about options and currencies and stuff like that.
Well, we're definitely going to have to network together. Mr. Allison here is from Chicago. I'm pretty sure that we can get this foursome with the Chicago Black Business Network, Black Wall Street. You said Ujamaa Black Wall Street?
Yeah, Ujamaa.
Okay, is it Ujamaa Black Wall Street?
Yeah, Ujamaa/Black Wall Street,
UJA. Okay, very good. Okay, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your question for us, or your statement?
Yeah, Chicago, because I had been in Chicago about a couple of years ago, and I saw where, like, those gray stones were going for, like, $200,000, because the gray stones were similar to the brown stones that they had.
That was two. How many years ago was that?
About 2 years ago, they was going for.
Okay,
like,
they almost doubled since 2 years ago.
What? the gray stones, they doubled since 2 years ago?
Oh, were you talking? What area are you speaking about?
Like around like South Side and 40th and South County.
About King Drive. That's
yeah,
where
that's
the buffalo.
Yeah, County Met.
King
yeah.
Drive and I mean the single family can go as high. Matter of fact, there was one that was about, I went and visited. They was asking about $650,000. Because, again,
okay.
Most of those gray stones on Michigan and King Drive are really mansions.
So it's basically catching them to where Harlem is at, because that's basically...
Identical
to Harlem almost.
Right. It's up there between a condominium in that particular area that you're speaking about, average somewhere between 200,000 to 300,000. So a graystone house, you are looking up there around about 600. And because, again, a lot of those are matches. Would you agree with that, Sonia, based on your real estate background?
Yeah, it depends. It's a very tight area over there where the values kind of stabilize. But all around that, they fell down. But it's a very tight area. It depends on what you're speaking of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where was the what's your question or comment? Would you like to share with us?
Well, like I said, I saw the name of the show, and I said I had to call in and see what you guys were talking about. Like I said, it's good to know that there's somebody else with the same mind frame. I have to agree with what you were saying as far as with the real estate. You know, a lot of people are being kind of timid right now, but, you know, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. You know, you got the tax credit for first-time home buyers and for current repeat home buyers as they're holding their home for 5 years. You know, the rates right now at all-time lows, you know, I'm doing 30-year mortgages, you know, for, you know, at 4.875%, 30 years fixed. I mean, it don't get much better than this, you know what I mean? It's like one of those situations, like, you know, you keep asking for something and show you a sign. Well, the sign is in, you know what I mean?
What's the mission? Okay, what's the mission of Ujamaa Black Wall Street?
To empower those who, A, don't know, don't have the resources and want to get to the next level.
Now, is this a radio program or
yes.
Or a live version, or is it an actual organization? You said, what city is this again?
I'm in Charlotte. We're starting
in Charlotte. Is it an organization?
Actually, yes, and we're doing this just starting off just to get people to the point of learning the basics, because what I found with a lot of people is you know, is difficult to take someone from 0 to 60. I'm starting off at a very basic and fundamental level, teaching them everything from the basics of understanding a credit to understanding, you know, banking to different types of investment, and really understand true diversification, which means stocks, bonds, you know, currencies, land, commodities, and keep people the basics. So we're basically treating this almost like another education, taking someone from kindergarten all the way up to college.
Well, as I asked Mr. Allison the same question based on the untapped market, how much is it in an untapped market to be captured in Charlotte?
Oh, well, you're talking about as far as this, the educational opportunity?
As far as engaging the community into the financial investment.
Oh, guys, I would say as far as if you're looking at just from this point of black people, I would say that it's probably just 10% of the population is probably actively investing or less, because you got banks here. So people, they tend, like most of the customers I speak to, they actually will at least have, you know, at the minimum a 401k or something like that, but they're not doing any other type of investing. But, you know, you have a huge opportunity here. And I would say it's, and when you get to other places, like you go to right over the border to South Carolina, it's probably more like, you know, it's only like 3 to 4% of the population. So it's a huge opportunity.
Well, Mr. Allison, I don't know what you put yourself into, but then you're going to have to engage with Charlotte as far as capturing that market. I'm not for sure what you all are doing in Charlotte, but you can see that we got a lot of work to do here in Chicago in capturing that market. And there'll probably be some type of form of collaboration here.
I agree. Ron, our biggest problem is, and I'm sure it's the same way in Charlotte, is, again, education. There's this fear. Our people have this fear just from the word stock, which means I can lose everything, but you can gain so much. And you're not going to – he mentioned the word diversification. That's the way to go. And another word he mentioned was options. And I'll tell you, our people don't deal with options, period.
Well, they don't
understand. Would you agree with that, Charlotte?
Yes, I would. You know, I took a course. I don't know if you're familiar with InvestTools. Actually, the company's out of Chicago, Thinkorswim. Thinkorswim, I took their course, and it was a phenomenal course. And just the things that I learned, like I said, you can really basically kind of guard yourself against a lot of the losses that a lot of people took during this last cycle if you know how to use options appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, how have your two businesses been affected by today's economy?
Well, you know, on the mortgage front, it's difficult to get a loan done in some cases. I'll give you an example. I had a loan where the lady had $500,000 liquid assets with an 800 credit score with about 30% down, and I still couldn't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Why wasn't she able to do it? What was the reason?
Her debt ratio was blown out. She was a retired principal from New York. She was making $100,000, but her properties that she had, her debt service on the even though some of the houses were free and clear, she was paying like almost $1,000 a month in taxes and insurance. And before, when you put something through DU, you used to be able to get an accept. Sometimes I used to get accepts on DU at 70%. Well, now Bank of America will only do 45%, period. It doesn't matter how good your credit is. Unless you go through private banking where you got a lot of assets with them and they'll write the loan based on the fact that you have like $1 million, $2 million with them, they won't do the loan outside of guidelines now.
So you have been somewhat affected based on your business growth from this economy today and based on the criteria of banks?
Well, for my job as being a loan officer, I mean, it's just, you know, we get a lot of leads and stuff, but it's just loans that you used to be able to do before you can't do now. And so, you know, so say for instance, if I talk to, you know, if I take 50 applications in the course of 2 months, you know, I can only count on maybe about half of those, whereas before I could get 70 to 75% of the work. Because back when I used to work for Countrywide, I used to be a manager for Countrywide. And so, you know, when I was working at Countrywide, man, I'm talking like I used to close a loan sometimes same day. if it was like a clean file and I could get a desktop underwriting approval and I can get an appraisal waiver and I had a company that would get me title back in 4 hours, shit, I'll get a payoff. Or this is a current customer, I get it done sometimes same day.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. Allison? Have you been affected based on your financial services from today's economy?
Yes, I've been affected. I've been affected in a good way. What I do is my company, we use what we have. Now, here's an example. Just a couple of weeks ago at the Kwanzaa Fest, I had a booth there, and anybody over the age of 55 got a CD. If they know more than $1,000, they got a CD. And most of our seniors that's got CDs, and some of them got big ones, they got that. That's their just-in-case money if they need it, and yet they want to pass something on to their children. Now, here's a little strategy right here. Well, I say children, but once they reach a certain age, it's no longer the children they want to pass it on to. They want to make sure their grandchildren get something. So here's a little strategy I use, and I'm doing quite well with it. Mr. Jones got a $40,000 CD there. He's 75 years old. He wants to pass that money on to his three grandbabies. Now, I said to, and I'm talking about a real case, I'm using the name Mr. Jones, but I said to this guy, listen, this just-in-case money you want to pass on to your three grandchildren, why pass on the $40,000 CD that you're paying the little tax on every year? Why not pass on $80,000 absolutely tax-free? And his question to me was, how can I do that? How can he do that? A little strategy called wealth transfer using life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You dump the $40,000 in a single-pay life insurance policy. It becomes $80,000 the same day, tax-free, passed on to whoever you want to. So I'm doing okay in this economy.
Mm-hmm. And then, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I used to date a young lady who was a tax attorney, and so that's a great strategy. And you know, they at one point, you know, a lot with like the Kennedys, a lot of these families would do, they would have the life insurance trust. And so you put the money into a life insurance trust, and then the money is attached. One of the best policies that's out is probably the universal variable policy, because you can get the same benefits of a whole life policy, but the premiums are going to be less, and it has an investment component. Some of them can have, you know, rates of return similar to what you get in a mutual fund or a stock.
Absolutely. That's why, Ron, I said earlier that I can stand toe-to-toe with a stockbroker, because I can say to my people, I can guarantee you, if you throw $100,000 in with me today, I guarantee you your money will double in 10 years. Now, how many stockbrokers can say that? None of them can say that. They'll go to jail. Well, the interest is only 7.2 over 10 years. That's double. The rule of 72.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So you are definitely some. We really can take this. The image of Black Wall Street of New York to the communities in which we serve, based on the untapped market and what you all have to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, here's the thing. Like I said, there's so many things that, like, I've been learning over the past couple of years. Like, you know, there's a gentleman that, you know, I'm from New York originally. I got some people that's up there.
We can tell from your accent.
Yeah. You know what? One of my friends, you know, there's a couple other people from Chicago that's on here. There's Deanne. I don't know if you know about Deanne Burley. She was in the mortgage business. She helped her write, she said, the Sharia-compliant mortgages up there in Chicago. Her father was Dan Burley, who used to be the editor for Jets. He's on Blog Talk. What I was going to tell you about, one of the hottest things, and I'm trying to get some more information on it, is the International Business Corporation account. Because I don't know if you heard about these IBCs, but you can do a little research on it. When you form an IBC, you know, you can actually operate those IBCs outside the country, and any money made on the IBC is going to be tax exempt.
So what is it can be done to, uh, as I can use the term Ujamaa Black Wall Street and Black Wall Street Chicago. What is it from you two that can have a big market impression or impact to not only help the individuals but businesses and financial planning?
Oh,
what would you say could be the single big, for lack of words, big bomb to ignite that untapped 90% or 95% market to engage in financial investments and planning?
Show that we have to be able to show people how they can invest and understand risk management and understand how you can invest without taking big risk.
Okay, did you ask the question again? What can be done? You say we will have to be able to. Do you know how we can be able to?
Yeah, through the education. That's where the education piece is. The people ask, like I said, the different types of investments. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example, right? Now, you're familiar with options, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Chicago is the home of options, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part. So if someone is an investor, and say, for instance, they want to, you know, be able to kind of offset their risk in this market, you know, you show them a couple of different option strategies. For instance, there's one option strategy called a covered call. So, you know, it requires you to do some research, but, you know, you'll actually take ownership of a stock, you know, and by showing them, you know, how to evaluate a stock.
I'm asking is not just the education to an individual, but is there a certain type of campaign that can be developed that let me use the term of when I forget the person, the company, when Dean Witter, when one speaks, everybody listens, or is there a particular theme or campaign that not just can be targeted educationally to an individual, but to the community at large? How can that community be ignited in the spirit of financial planning at one time? What would what couldn't happen to make that happen?
I think at this point we're still at the infancy stages. So, I mean, if we had the answer to that, we'd all be rich right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's what has to be developed. So at this point, we haven't got to the point because we're getting to the point of, A, getting people to listen and get comfortable with the concept of, A, you know, building wealth. So that's first and foremost. I mean, you have to basically, you know, have in order to execute any type of plan, you have to have something that's going to be specific, realistic, timely. So at this point, you know, we're working on just the basics, getting people, like, for instance, getting people to call the show, feel comfortable enough to talk about what some of their issues are and help them propel forward. I think right now, it's just no different than the other, you know, business. You know, there's not right at this point, we don't have a slogan or anything that's, you know, just
like. Would you kind of feel the same way, Mr. Ellison, that there is no real big boom to capture that market is basically on a one-to-one educational level to a certain degree?
Well, over my 29 years, what I've learned is, here's one something I think can happen from a slogan, if you will, today. Using Black Wall Street Chicago, we set a date, a time, a one-hour event, invite people to come out and learn some basics in investment. And here's what one thing that have worked for me. I've said to people in my seminars, you come to my seminar, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 points you can use today. You don't have to think about them. It's going to be common sense stuff. You can go back home and use it today. And I found that quite often people will come, and people like coming in groups because they don't want to be, well, when I say people, especially seniors. Seniors are not going to come on an individual basis. Seniors will come in a group of 40 or 50 like mad if they can get one or two things that they can implement today. And I
Let me, if I can, Jesse Jackson, he made a scenario regarding the movement of black people. He said it came into four movements. I think he missed a movement, but basically he stated the first movement was the freedom. And the second was the right to the right to vote. And then he said another movement was the right for integration. And then he said the fourth one was our financial independence as a movement. Is that a, even as Jesse Jackson stated that that is a movement of where black people are at now, and he said that about 3 years ago. What is it, and as Jesse Jackson, Rainbow Push, have made a took a position regarding Wall Street in New York and to work with corporations and investments. So is that a fair assessment of Jesse Jackson based on the four movements, even though he did miss the Black Power movement? But anyway, how do you all feel? Is that where we are? Do you assess it that? And then upon him making that assessment 3 years ago, and we're still at a point where there is, again, 90% of untapped market and investments. What are we missing here?
I believe Reverend Jesse Jackson was pretty much on point there, and I do think he missed the Black Power movement, but I believe we are right now in the age of financial literacy. We want to learn. We want to know more about. I believe we're there right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's the point I was getting at. I think we got to get away from a microwave mentality. I mean, we can't say, let's find one thing. We have, because we're not a monolithic people. So what I've been encountering is that, you know, people have been coming up to me saying, you know what, I want to learn more about this. Because I'll give you an example. One of the reasons that black people don't invest is because for all the years they've been taking advantage, you hear about the stories there. I got family in Charleston, South Carolina. They're taking advantage of the insurance scams. They paid more
than
insurance premium. You know, I have my grandfather. You know, he had a guy from John Hancock run off with $80,000 of his money. You know, so it left my
money. Historically, you had some pretty they probably wasn't in the stock market investment, but you had Golden Mutual Insurance Companies. You had Supreme Life Insurance Company.
Uh-huh.
You had these black insurance and investment companies, but they're no longer existing. But they did do a substantial job in securing policies. I don't know if the majority of them was funeral policies, but they were able to have the black community to invest, and this here was in the 40s all the way up to the 70s.
Yeah, I guess my point is that people have a sour taste in their mouth when it comes to investing because they don't feel like they can trust. So that's why it's important to get the movement based on the education side.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but here's what those black companies did not do. Those black companies sold very small amounts of life insurance. They never taught the families how to invest in life insurance that it would move on down the line to their children, grandchildren, and on and on and on. They sold burial-type insurance. They didn't sell investment-grade life insurance where it would be beneficial for the person buying and the person, the beneficiary. And the reason I say that is because some of those policies just went out of existence the last 10 years or so. Now, just to show you how powerful life insurance today, I can purchase a $100,000 life insurance policy with a guarantee that in 20 years, at least the money I put into it would be available for me if I wanted it with a guarantee. So these kind of things, life insurance have come so far from where it was, it's incredible. And our people got to be...
Right. Are we ready for a break, Sonia?
Mr. Carter, you can continue if you wish. Let's take about 10 more minutes and we'll go to a break then.
Okay. Well, with the market that is there, I believe that with Ujamaa Black Wall Street and Mr. Allison here from Chicago Black Wall Street, is there a communication type of vehicle that, just use an example of you in Charlotte and you here in Chicago, that can kind of send that type of message to be ricocheting? Because what I've been witnessing is that even the social and economic problems from drugs, gangs, crime, displacement, gerrymandering, the housing market is a reflection of Chicago, New York, Oakland, Atlanta. The same issues are the same. And now what I'm hearing from you two is that even the financial planning issues of market is the same. How can that we have that type of network that can engage the black community in those financial? Even though I think I've asked this question somewhat before, but collectively, what can be done?
Well, just so you know, we've actually started a social network on Ning, Ujamaa Black Wall Street, where to engage, have blogs, put up articles of interest, and that's a good way for people to kind of get acclimated. Like I said, we just started that, and so that's one of our springboards, because these social networks, along with Blog Talk, and there's another brother that's on here, Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio Network. We're trying to develop some technology where you can kind of have everything integrated all in one, where, you basically have, for instance, you can use Twitter to get people, interested in a topic, like, hey, you have any questions? This is something that I learned from someone that, they'll put something out on Twitter. Like, hey, if you have any questions about life, for the gentleman that's right there in Chicago, any questions about life insurance, please contact me, Chicagoland area, wherever areas you service. So you can use the social networks to try to propel people into to wanting to learn more about what you can offer them.
Why did you all come up with the name Ujamaa? I know what Ujamaa mean. I know what Black Wall Street mean. But how did you adopt the name Black Wall Street? What drove you all to that point?
Most people who know about the area of Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think it's very important that we reignite that vision, because, I think one of the things that's been the problem over the past, say, 20 years is this image of us being told, when people see us, they think of precious. They think of the situation of precious, and that everybody we're in these dire situations. We have money, but we don't have wealth.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's the difference, because as you know, income is a flow principle, wealth is a stock principle. So you, for instance, have a situation where we're going to have over $1 trillion of spending power, and our money goes out of the community. You look at Asians, you look at Hispanics, their money is recycled in the community. One of the biggest issues we have is that our money is always flowing out, and it's never the return.
So as you use the term Black Wall Street, did you have any type of insight of the other type of Black Wall Streets that's happening around the country? Based on the historical nature of it?
Yeah, on the historical nature of Black Wall Street, because they actually in Durham, North Carolina, there was a section named Black Wall Street. So we want to basically...
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then also in Durham, North Carolina.
What year was this?
You
said it was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was at one point. It's no longer.
What year?
It was around the same time period as the Oklahoma. Same time period. So long story short, the whole idea is, we want to get people, one, to understand that, we haven't always been these poor, helpless, just utterly destitute people.
Okay.
That we have a legacy of greatness, so we want to kind of bring the past into the present.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, and it's a paradigm shift. It's getting people to think beyond, you know, I got to have this Louis Vuitton bag, or I got to have these Bottega Veneta shoes, or, you know, I got to have a $1,200 car payment. We got to shift our priorities, shift our focus.
So with the UJAMA Black Wall Street, you indicated that it's an organization. Is that basically an online presence, or
that's
is
online,
there some activity?
An online presence for right now. We're just getting started. We're just getting started in the past couple of weeks.
Well, how long is just getting started?
Just in the past 3 weeks.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's very good. Do you think that you will engage into the community with UJAMA Black Wall Street?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's one of those situations where we want to get people the opportunity to, one, feel comfortable. I mean, a lot of people are just very uncomfortable, especially Black people, about talking about finances.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would like to bring this to your attention, is that there will be a national Black Wall Street Summit in Chicago in August of this year.
Oh, really?
Right. And upon having that national, there's a lot of Black Wall Streets. Concepts have been developed through, you know, in different parts of the country, even to the point we didn't know anything about UJAMA Black Wall Street upon you coming on the Black Business Network. We definitely would like to welcome you to this convention summit in August, and even prior to that we again engage in some real good dialogue. Mr. Allison, as we recruited him again to take on the task to be writing for South Street Journal, and that maybe as we build toward that summit in August, if again, Mr. Allison, if you don't mind me putting you out there again, if you can relate with UJAMA of Black Wall Street in Charlotte and see how we can come to this national summit that's going to happen in August. Am I putting too much out there on you, Mr. Allison?
Well, I'm going to. It's still night, and I got to sleep on it. So.
Okay. Well, yes, we definitely. What's your name again, sir?
Thomas.
Thomas, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely want to engage you into that and see how we can develop that with the financial investments and markets of that untapped market. So would you say that the other corporations are aware of this market, or why haven't others been able, again, as it go back to your term, Mr. Allison, based on being afraid and then based on a lack of education or the norm that other companies, say New York Life or Dean Witter, have not did an assessment of that untapped market?
Well,
that's an easy question for me to answer, because I'm out there. I cannot pay my mortgage in hoping people will come on board.
Right.
I have, you know, I can go out to my people and every now and then and try and get them. But then I have to go back over to Skokie to make a living. You see
okay.
what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's just that simple. I want to do business with my people, but I got bills, I got family, I got obligations. So I got to go over there and make my money.
Right.
And
okay.
yet come over here and try and do some education to bring my people up to speed. And I've been doing that for many years now, and I'm still doing it.
Do you see the same thing, Thomas, based on your livelihood and the market of sustaining your business now?
Well, I would say this. As far as the question, to be more pointed in answering your question, they just don't take Black people seriously. Look at BET, Bamboozle Entertainment Television, and tell me if you see an investment company in there, or if you look at Kathy Hughes Network. So I just think it's a point of not us not being taken seriously now. If we build a platform, you know, where people come on board They want to learn more. They want to get engaged in understanding investment and demystifying this entire financial system. Then that's and then we build a network of people all throughout the country, 20, 30, 40,000 people who we say, you know what, we got 20, 30,000 people who are wanting to get, you know, brokerage accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how you leverage the internet. That's what it's about, leveraging the resources on the internet, bring people together through social networks. Then you go to these companies and say, you know what, I think it's about time for you to break bread.
Mm-hmm. So there is I don't know how to put this no other way, but regardless of it's all about the dollar, can you assess that some corporations, investment firms, don't want certain dollars?
Oh no, let's be clear. They want the money, but here's the thing. When they see the behavior that doesn't give them any evidence to believe that these people are capable, much less interested in that type of activity, they're not going to invest their resources there. And that's bottom
line.
So
they want to, when you say resources, meaning their marketing dollars, they will not do that?
Exactly. I'm going to tell you a real live fact, right, from Bank of America, okay? They've already determined, for instance, the Hispanics, you know, based on the population trends, Hispanics are going to have, you know, at least $1.3 to $1.4 trillion in spending ability, okay? Blacks are going to be pretty close to them, about $1.1 trillion. And, you know, the Asians are going to be somewhere close to about $800 to $900 billion. So based on that, you know, the Hispanic population, one thing they know about them is, yes, they're a little bit more organized. They have more grassroots efforts. Their candidates, whenever they get into politics, stay true to their roots. Black
That's
people,
right.
we consume. They consume. You know, in the Bronx, if you're not Puerto Rican or Dominican, you're not getting in office. Period. The Bronx is more people. There's more Puerto Rican people in the Bronx than there is in Puerto Rico. So you go to the Bronx, and if your name ain't Diaz or Excepcion or something like that, it's a wrap. You get no love there.
So there is a cultural experience that the black community have to engage in order to have a massive drive toward that market, would you say, comparing the other nationalities, there's a cultural identity that they have, which the black community don't have, to engage more or even to attract corporations to market them. If I could use another example, education. When major universities advertise recruitment, they don't advertise recruitment in the black community, but they would in other communities.
Mm-hmm.
So is it some type of a experience that have to be engaged so that the black community can understand their wealth and the power with that and to use it as a bargaining tool?
Well, I mean, it's been evident. I mean, I'll give you an example. Here in the South, at one point, the churches under the Baptist Conference got together and went to the banks and leveraged that same strength and got them to lower their fees.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the camera. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the whole concept of UJAMA, synergy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to create synergy.
And I'd like to interject something there as far as what it takes to move black people, and then we're going to go to a break because we do have another caller on the line.
All right.
It's all about mindset, and I'll give you an example. Back in the 80s, a young man talked about options. Mercantile Exchange is the home of options in America. Rich, super, super. And I was there. I was an administrative assistant there. I've been all over the place. I've done all kinds of jobs. And like in the 90s, and they had their biggest day for that market that they'd ever had. I had never witnessed people as happy about money. There was a celebration over here at Mercantile Exchange that you would not believe. The whole place was jumping because they were excited about money, having money, making money, doing money, and they were driven to it. And they were driven to – this organization is so driven to money, the way that they do what they do it, they do it in a perfectionist way. They do not play at the options market about money. And we have to be much more serious and much more engaged mentally about what money means. You know, we talked about follow the money, right, Ron? But what about what money means to us? Until we have, and in my opinion, until we have a basic understanding of what money means, and it means power, we cannot move anywhere. And that's just how I look at it. Now,
yeah,
what I'd like, go ahead, young man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. That was the point I was saying. I was talking about a paradigm shift. Look at the Jews. Look at the Jews, right? Now, the Jews, they are, the, as far as Judaism is concerned, they're the smallest of the religions in terms of the amount of people who actually practice, you know, Judaism. And as far as their population is concerned in the world, they're a very small minority. But guess what? You got a bunch of them that's billionaires.
Absolutely.
So it's a mindset.
Absolutely. It's a mindset. It's a training. It's a mindset and a training. And we're still trying to be trained at such a basic level. It has to be, as you say, a paradigm shift, a mind shift, a change in thought. It could be education. You can put the money, you can put the words out there all you want. If the mind doesn't change, if it cannot open up and be receptive to the idea of what money is and what power is, it will not change no matter how much paper you put out there. Ron, if I may, I want to go to a break. Thomas, this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to schedule an interview with you and Mr. Carter on your show, if possible. I just added you as a friend on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to send you Mr. Carter's number so that you and he can communicate. You know, one thing I do admire about Ron Carter is that every time someone comes on the air from wherever they come, because this is a worldwide show, he always bringing them into the fold. He always finding a way to bring them into Black Wall Street. When you can finish, how many people? It's going to be like 3 million, Ron. He's always.
Well, you did say this is an action-orientated blog or radio talk show, so I keep that in mind. We are action-orientated. We just don't talk to stuff. We engage the talk.
That's right.
And that's what we do. He bringing everybody in. Everybody. PA, Philadelphia, everybody. Everybody be Block Wall Street when he's finished. Thomas, I want to thank you for joining us. You can stay on the line. You don't have to go anywhere. But we're going to go to a break first, and then we're going to take this caller from 312. We thank you for your patience, and we thank you for being with us this evening. You're listening to Black Wall Street Chicago Speak. we're back, and you're tuned in to Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks with Mr. Ron Carter and Chairman of Black Wall Street Chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago. I'm Sonia Perdue. Our guest this evening is Mr. Allison. Mr. Allison is also the president of Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated. He is a specialist in retirement and insurance planning, and he has been part of the financial industry for more than 29 years. That was Pressure, sung by Sylvia Frederick from her recent CD, Sister Under God's Construction. Sylvia Frederick is also the associate producer of Shaping Our Minds, which airs on Channel 21 every Saturday at 4 p.m. You can contact Sylvia at ChicagoBlackBusinessNetwork.com to schedule a show or to advertise your services on Shaping Young Minds. Before we go back to our guest and Mr. Carter, we want you to know Black Wall Street Chicago invites you to a reception for their Economic Summit on January 15, 2010. Special guests for this reception will be Illinois State Senator Donnie Trotter, Black and Green founder Naomi Davis, Congressman Danny K. Davis, and candidate for U.S. Senator Shirley Jackson. Once again, this reception is January 15th and will be held at the Quarry, which is located at 2310 East 75th Street in Chicago. This event sets the stage for Black Wall Street Chicago Summit number 11 to be held on February 27th. Watch our site and Chicago's Black Business Network for more details. For ticket information and to be part of increasing and sustaining Black businesses, call 312-624-8351, 312-624-8351. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Allison and Ron. Let's go to caller 312 in Chicago.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the line.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening to you. Can you hear me?
Good evening.
Yes, we can.
Good evening.
Okay, great. My name is Harold Arnold. I'm with American Invesco Realty. And I was listening to your program, and I want to congratulate Mr. Carter for creating this idea and program to talk about his, you know, the Black Wall Street. The
okay,
young man
well, thank you, but there's a collaboration of many people, though.
Oh, it's, I'm sure there is.
Right.
There was a the young man that was from Tulsa. I guess he was from Tulsa.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Okay, he's from Charlotte. He mentioned about the Black Wall Street, and there are, and I'm just bringing up some history. There's a few publishers out of Tulsa that are working on it, on some items, and it's also on the internet. You may want to review it, and it talks about the Black Wall Street that used to be at, there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there was a riot. I guess later on, shortly afterwards, but it was in
right 1921.
Right, and at that time there were a number of businesses and so forth that were booming, especially for African Americans, and then some for the Native Americans at that time, and so a lot of those businesses because they were either burned out or torn down or because of the riots, ended up not even coming back in so many circumstances.
Correct.
There were a lot of African-Americans that were killed during that time. So I guess there's more research going to be done on it and possibly some book or something like that coming out later on it. But I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, there are numerous of books on the subject, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So, and... you know, that was just brought up. But you have, and I know you only have a short time, you have a very exciting program. So I'm hoping that possibly I could be involved in it a little later.
Well, again, Sonia, you kind of put it out there based on what I do. But we do welcome you to come to our planning meetings. Black Wall Street Chicago meets every Thursday at 8:30 a.m. at 449 East 35th Street. We would like a RSVP prior to coming so that we can set the agenda and know what's going on. But you're definitely welcome in your line of business regarding real estate, taking in full consideration that the Tulsa, Oklahoma business growth was about real estate as well. And that,
right.
As Mr. Allison have indicated about the market that's missing in investments, there still is a major market that's missing in real estate. And I understand that one time that there was I know about the Dearborn Real Estate Board. Is that correct?
No, that I'm not sure.
Yeah, are you familiar with the Dearborn Real Estate Board?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, it's a black real estate organization here in Chicago. Actually, they've been around since the 50s. But is there a group of black realtors that are looking at the market that you know of to engage the black community in a more concrete real estate investment? Take, for example, the north. I'm always using this example, the south, the near south and the near west real estate bloom. Not only real estate bloom, it was a land development bloom. Is your market of realtors, and if I can use the blacks, is there any type of engagement among them to look at a massive development and engaging the black community in real estate?
And we want you to know we had 2 minutes, Mr. Carter.
So oh, I'm sorry.
Let's get your final comment.
Final
I know. Mm-hmm. And, sir, what is your name, sir?
Harold.
Harold.
Arnold.
Okay. Let's give you Mr. Carter's telephone number, 312-624-8363. So that you can continue to engage him in this topic and come up with that
Boston, definitely,
Chicago.
Definitely.
And
could you repeat that one more time? 624 what?
8363.
Okay, 8363. Thank you.
And that's 312 area code.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me give the other 312-624-8351.
An 8351. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And Mr. Carter, may I just Mr. Arnold might be able to use this information I want to put out there. Right now in the city of Chicago, there's something called a Small Business Improvement Fund. It is a grant up to $150,000 for real estate improvement. The phone number is 312-360-3300. 312-360-3300. Up to $150,000 that's got to be funded out in the TIF area. And I'm sure you're familiar with TIF. All over Chicago.
Thank you.
Take advantage
of that information. Before we leave, we have 60 seconds. Mr. Allison, can you give our listeners your contact information again?
Yes. My name is Prentice Allison, president of Service Perfect Solutions, Inc. Phone number 773-353-4295. 773-353-4295. Now, when you call that number, you'll have two to three prompts. Say, find him, and it will ring every number I got in the country at one time.
Okay, sounds great. Not missing a call whatsoever, are you? Okay, okay, well, yeah, I want to close. I want to welcome Mr. Allison and our guest. I enjoyed it. I think we're moving real forward with us moving on this Black Wall Street agenda we got going here. So, Sonia, where are we at this point now?
Well, we're closing out for the evening here. We want to thank all of our listeners and our guests. Mr. Allison, we will certainly schedule you for another show. I know you didn't think it would go this fast, and because we have a lot of ground to cover. We have a lot of things to do.
Oh, yeah,
we have a big, big job ahead of us. We want to thank all of our listeners for joining us this evening. We're here every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Join us next week for Black Wall Street Chicago Speaks. We're going to close out the show now, and Mr. Allison, we're going to talk to you very, very soon. Ron, you have
thank
a
you.
Great evening, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thanks again.
To eat.